Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, November 22nd, 2024. We turn first to page one, where the main story is on holiday traditions headlined Santa's Return, Museum and Donor Efforts Return Livingston Icon to Downtown. It was the day before Santa Claus came back to town, but Norris Porter was not smiling yet. Porter is among the McLean County Museum of History staff members who have been working for over a year to organize the restoration and return of the 14-foot statue, one of a pair that appeared on the awning of Livingston's department store in downtown Bloomington during holiday seasons between the 1940s and 1970s. Restoration work continues on the other Santa, who is destined for display in Uptown Normal in future years. Santa's journey home began last December. Jeffrey Allen Wandell, who had owned the statue since the 1980s, donated them to the museum, along with $10,000 to support the effort. As director of development for the museum, Porter has been working since then to solicit and coordinate donations of materials, labor, equipment, and money toward the project dubbed Saving Santa. Local artist Andrew Jumonville undertook the painstaking task of returning the Santas to their original appearance while incorporating stronger materials that could endure the elements and the years to come. It was all set to culminate on Thursday morning when members of several local unions secured Santa on a pad outside of the museum. Full disclosure time, I am a member of the History Museum's Board of Directors, which met Wednesday afternoon and heard from Porter that the long-planned installation would take place the following day. While everyone applauded this news, Porter was focused on the logistical hurdles and the unknowns. What if there was heavy rain or wind gusts that interfered with the crane? In the end, the whole thing went off without a hitch. Porter was grinning as he moved among the people gathered outside of the museum, thanking volunteers and snapping photos as the statue's two massive halves were fitted together. Call it Santa's magic, perhaps the same force that sent a light flurry of snowflakes to welcome him back home. For my part, I'm inclined to think that much of this magic also comes from the willingness of so many people from business, government, and labor to come together in a bid to brighten the season, to offer their community a source of uncomplicated joy in a world increasingly starved for it. Those who contributed to the effort will be recognized during a dedication ceremony at 11:30 a.m. November 30th. Hope to see you there. And this story is accompanied by a photo from the late 1950s of the department store that has an awning in the front, and the two large Santas with waving arms are on either end of the awning. And our next front page story is about education, titled Schools May Ask for 1% Sales Tax, Unit 5 and District 87 I April Referendum. This story is Dateline Bloomington. The two largest school districts in McLean County are exploring a 1% sales tax to help pay for needed building projects and potentially reduce property tax burdens, officials said. The plan, which could put the question before voters as soon as the April election, surfaced as school boards from McLean County Unit 5 and Bloomington District 87 discussed preliminary tax levies for the coming fiscal year during separate meetings Wednesday night. While both districts' proposals call for lower tax rates, officials acknowledge many people will face higher property tax bills because of the rising value of their homes. District 87 Superintendent David Mauser said the county school's facility occupation tax would add a small percentage on every sale in the county to help fund school districts for facilities, mental health resources for students, and safety and security. That is a 1% tax that is then put on prepared food, tangible personal items, and retail items. It includes online purchases now that it did not in the past, he said. However, the tax would not affect groceries, unprepared food, over-the-counter medication, and most farm equipment. That question, if approved by the school districts housing the majority of students in McLean County, would be put to voters in the upcoming April election. For Unit 5, the resolution must come before the board before its December meeting or during a special meeting in early January to appear on the April ballot. Mouser told the school board Wednesday a large portion of money spent in McLean County, upwards of 40%, is spent by folks that do not live in McLean County that can thereby offset the cost for facilities, safety, security, and mental health services for our students. As property values and property taxes increase for county residents, such a tax could alleviate the pressure on county residents, he said. The other thing that you can do with the 1% sales tax, the county facility sales tax, is you can abate property taxes, Mouser said. Unit 5, meanwhile, is evaluating the sales tax as a possible revenue stream to cover more than $70 million in infrastructure and maintenance projects over the next 15 years. In September, district officials gave a presentation on the current infrastructure needs of district facilities. Over the next 5 years, the district estimated more than $50 million in work to the school's roofs, running tracks, fire alarm systems, geothermal systems, heating equipment, cooling towers, and chillers. Another $13.6 million in project is anticipated between 2030 and 2034, and another $7.8 million is estimated between 2035 and 2039. One of the most urgent projects is a $10 million roof replacement at Chittick's Junior High that must be completed this summer. If approved, the tax is estimated to generate between $16 million and $20 million annually for Unit 5, officials said. McLean County would allocate the sales tax revenue to the Regional Office of Education, which would distribute the funds across each school district in the county based on enrollment. The sales tax was one of several funding mechanisms the board discussed on Wednesday. Other options could be grant funding or the issuance of building or working cash bonds. Board member Amy Roser said, since the district doesn't have $50 million, it should be mindful of consequences of any revenue source. If it doesn't come from the sales tax, where we can't take every dollar that we get and put it directly to a project, it's going to have to come from one of those other sources, and a majority of those other sources have interest involved, Roser said. For a referendum to be included on the April ballot, Unit 5 and enough school districts to represent a majority of the total enrollment of McLean County would have to pass a resolution, said Mark Jauntry, regional superintendent for the Regional Office of Education 17. His office oversees the school districts in Livingston, Logan, DeWitt, and McLean counties. The way the statute reads, school boards that represent 50.1% or the majority of K-12 students residing in the county can pass a board resolution, he told the Pantograph on Thursday. That resolution would then go to his office, where they would prepare the ballot's language, Jauntry said. Once I verify that enough boards have passed it, then I file the ballot initiative with the clerk and the Bloomington Election Commission for the consolidated April election, he said. Jauntry said, because Unit 5 has more than 50.1% of total student population of McLean County, its Board of Education needs to pass the resolution for the tax question to have a chance in April. According to the Illinois Department of Revenue, any funding received through this tax is to be used exclusively for school facility purposes in that county, as defined in the county school facility occupation tax law. The statute was subsequently amended almost 10 years ago with a slight expansion to include safety and security, as well as mental health services, Jauntry said. noting this includes school resource officers, school psychologists, and school social workers. The language in the ballot question actually specifically denotes those areas, he said. Based on the Department of Revenue's figures for sales within McLean County, $29 to $30 million would be divided among school districts countywide, Jountree said. It would have a significant impact on their ability to maintain their facilities. I have two other counties that currently have the tax, Livingston and Logan. They have realized a lot of benefit to maintain their facilities without having to touch their operations and maintenance funds, Jountree said. For the past several years, property values in the county have increased because of multiple reasons, including companies like Rivian Automotive and Ferraro establishing long-term homes in the Twin Cities. District leaders said they hope the sales tax can help to offset the increased property values. Your homes are worth more, said Michael Cornelli, District 87's Chief Facilities and Financial Officer, and we are asking less by tax rate of you all. It may not end up being less dollars, but we are asking less rate. For the 2025-26 school year, he advised the board to approve a tax levy that would generate between $52 and $56 million, keeping the property tax rate for homeowners in the district below 5.1%. School districts have no influence on the equalized assessed value of properties in their townships, he said. That belongs to township officials. The Bloomington Township tax assessor is projecting an increase of 8.9% in equalized assessed value, but because of potential assessment challenges from property owners, Cornelli said he conservatively estimates that number closer to 7.75%. Here is the truth. If property owners' home value were to stay the same as it did from the year prior, they would see relief, he said. I am not necessarily sure that everybody will see the same home value. According to Cornelli's calculations, if the value of property were to remain stagnant, the owner of a $225,000 home would pay $52.72 less than they had the previous year, but the value is estimated to increase. But if that same property owner experienced equalized assessed value growth at 8.9%, they could pay about $290 more than they did the previous year. The equalized assessed value is a component that you all, the school board, we all, administration, have no ability to change. There is nothing we can do in this room to change what that equalized assessed value is, Cornelli said. That comes from our township assessor. He gives me that number to start working from. So that number is set in stone, and then we work backwards. Before the start of every fiscal year, the county school districts use a calculated assessed value tax rate from the county and township assessors to determine a requested amount of funds from taxpayers, Cornelli said. When I levy for dollars, because we ultimately don't know what that certified equalized assessed value will be, he said. In the interest of fiscal responsibility, he said he uses a conservative estimate of that rate to calculate the levy he provides to the county. We're going to do our part as a community member to give some relief as we can. I think it is a fiscally responsible thing to do, he said. Unit 5 estimated a $163.4 million property tax levy, a roughly 9.2% increase over the 2023 tax year. As a result, a truth in taxation hearing must be held before the levy can be approved. However, the district is estimating a tax rate reduction from $5.29 per $100 of assessed value to $5.07 per $100. The owner of a $225,000 home who experienced a 10.63% increase in value in 2024 would see a $239 increase to Unit 5's portion of their property tax bill. Unit 5 Chief Financial Officer Marty Hickman said this will be the first year the district will take advantage of the increased tax rate for its education fund that was approved by referendum in 2023. As a result, the levy for the education fund increased from $76.3 million in 2023 to about $109 million in 2024. The district also saw a significant reduction to its levy for debt service after paying off building bonds. The levy amount for debt service dropped from roughly $37 million to about $13.6 million. And our last front page story is about U.S. politics, headlined "Gates Quits as Trump's Pick for AG." This is an Associated Press story, datelined Washington. Matt Gaetz withdrew Thursday as President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Attorney General following continued scrutiny over a federal sex trafficking investigation that cast doubt on his ability to be confirmed as the nation's chief federal law enforcement officer. The abrupt withdrawal is a setback to Trump's push to install steadfast loyalists in his incoming administration, but also a recognition of the resistance the Republican is already encountering from members of his own party to picks with checkered backgrounds. By bowing out, Gaetz averts what was shaping up to be a pitched confirmation battle that would have tested how far Senate Republicans were willing to go to confirm Trump's cabinet selections. The Florida Republicans' announcement came one day after meeting with senators in an effort to win their support for his confirmation to lead the Justice Department. While the momentum was strong, it is clear that my confirmation was unfairly becoming a distraction to the critical work of the Trump Vance transition, Gaetz said in a statement announcing his decision. There is no time to waste on a needlessly protracted Washington scuffle. Thus, I will be withdrawing my name from consideration to serve as Attorney General. Trump's DOJ must be in place and ready on day one. Trump, in a social media post, said, "I greatly appreciate the recent efforts of Matt Gaetz in seeking approval to be Attorney General. He was doing very well, but at the same time did not want to be a distraction for the administration, for which he has much respect. Matt has a wonderful future, and I look forward to watching all of the great things he will do." Gaetz's announcement came days after an attorney for two women said that his clients told House Ethics Committee investigators that Gaetz paid them for sex on multiple occasions, beginning in 2017 when Gaetz was a Florida congressman. One of the women testified she saw Gaetz having sex with a 17-year-old at a party in Florida in 2017, according to the attorney, Joel Leppard. Leppard has said that his client testified she did not think Gaetz knew the girl was underage, stopped their relationship when he found out, and did not resume it until after she turned 18. The age of consent in Florida is 18. Gaetz has vehemently denied any wrongdoing and said last year that the Justice Department's investigation into sex trafficking allegations involving underage girls had ended with no federal charges against him. Gaetz's political future is uncertain at the moment. He had abruptly resigned his congressional seat upon being selected to be Attorney General. That move was seen as a way to shut down the ethics investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct. Republicans on the committee declined this week to release its findings over objections from Democrats in a split vote. But the committee did agree to finish its work and is scheduled to meet again December 5th to discuss the matter. Gaetz did win re-election in November for the new Congress, which convenes January 3rd, 2025, but it is unclear whether he would take office. There are plans for a special election in Florida for his seat. And we turn now to some local and state news. This story is headlined, "Woodford County to Pay for Animal Control Kennel Repairs." This story is datelined Eureka. Repairs are needed at Woodford County's Animal Control Kennel in Eureka. The county board voted unanimously Tuesday that the county should pay for the repairs for a not-to-exceed amount of $11,065, even though the county is renting the kennel from Merle and Michelle Blunier as part of its startup of an animal control operation. "Should we pay to improve someone else's building?" asked board member Blake Parsons, chair of the board's Public Safety Committee, which discussed the repairs November 12th at its monthly meeting. "We're off to a good start with animal control. It's working well. We want it to be a success," Parsons said. "I know $11,000 is a lot of money, but if we continue renting the Blunier's kennel for, say, 10 years, that's just about $1,000 annually for these repairs. That's not tough to stomach. It's certainly cheaper than buying land and building a kennel." Board member Jim Bauman said he worried that the county paying for the repairs could set a troubling precedent if further repairs are needed, and board member Tim Warner was concerned about the cost of the repairs. But they joined the other board members in the unanimous vote. Two quotes were received to apply epoxy to the kennel floor, replace the Dura-Rock where dogs have chewed on it, and to seal the doors. One quote was for $9,865 and the other for $11,065. The Public Safety Committee will continue to discuss the repairs at its December meeting and come back to the board with a proposal. The committee oversees animal control because the Woodford County Sheriff's Department runs the operation. Also at Tuesday meeting, the board approved the resignation of State's Attorney Greg Minger, who was appointed the resident circuit judge of Woodford County in September, but remained on the November 5th ballot and was elected state's attorney by voters to a fourth term. Eric Gibson was appointed the state's attorney by the board in September. It also approved a resolution honoring Hillary Agert, who resigned as director of the Woodford County Health Department after 10 years on the job. Her last day is December 13th. An open house in her honor will be held from 9 to 10 a.m. December 12th at the Health Department office on Main Street in Eureka. The Board of Health appointed Emily Kelly as interim director. She started November 1st. A property tax levy of $5,178,976 for 2024, payable in 2025. That was approved. The levy includes $700,000 for the county's general fund, $625,000 for the county's contribution to Social Security, $375,000 for the county's contribution to the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, and $513,152 each for the construction of roads and bridges. It also approved intergovernmental agreements with the villages of Kappa and Panola for animal control services. Spring Bay is now the lone community in Woodford County that does not have an intergovernmental agreement with the county for animal control service. Also approved an agreement with Dan Johnson, who lives at 1124 Sunset Drive in East Peoria, to adopt a vacant lot at 1122 Sunset Drive as part of the county's Adopt a Lot program. It approved using $780,000 in motor fuel tax funds to mill and overlay nearly 4 miles of County Highway 25, the Santa Fe Trail, from Lourdes Road to Metamora. The county received an $820,000 grant for the project from the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission. A bid letting will be held in January. The board approved using $139,358 in motor fuel tax funds to cover the 2025 salary of County Engineer Conrad Moore, who received a 4% pay increase. It approved a contract with Low Bidder Signs Solutions of West Fargo, North Dakota, for $10,957 for replacement road signs along the Minunk Washburn Blacktop and Lourdes Road. It approved the reappointments of Lori Shearer, Dr. Gary Knepp, Karen Krug, and Dr. Michael Meyer to the Board of Health for 3-year terms expiring in 2027. It approved the reappointments of Melissa Andrews, Management, Matt Knorr, Management, Paul Wilkins, Health Department, Kayla Comans, Fraternal Order of Police, Probation, and Dave Meinhold, the County Board, to the Health Care Commission for 3-year terms expiring in 2027. It approved the appointments of Jeff Clean, Randy Kohler, and Ed Conroy to the Clayton-Bennington Drainage District Board for 1, 2, and 3-year terms, respectively, expiring in 2025, 26, and 27. And it approved the reappointment of Paul Murphy to the Benson Fire Protection District Board for a 3-year term expiring in 2027. The board will hold a special reorganizational meeting at 6:30 p.m. December 2nd. New and re-elected board members will be seated. And this story is headlined, Man Accused of Soliciting Minors, Dateline Bloomington. A Bellflower man is being detained in the McLean County Jail for allegedly soliciting sexually explicit photos from minors. Matthew V. Cummings, 35, is charged with indecent solicitation of a child, a Class 4 felony, 2 counts for grooming, both Class 4 felonies, and traveling to meet a child, a Class 3 felony. The defendant was in court Wednesday for an initial appearance before Judge Greg Minger. Assistant State's Attorney Ashley Scarborough filed a petition to detain him on behalf of the prosecution. In the probable cause statement, Scarborough said Cummings had reportedly been contacting minors at Ridgeview Schools in Colfax. Investigators began tracking it on November 1st and continued until his arrest November 18th. 13 students between the ages of 12 and 17 had been contacted by Cummings, Scarborough said. However, she said, the extent of this case is not yet known. The prosecutor explained social media accounts belonging to Cummings have been identified on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, all of which had been used to contact minors requesting explicit photos. The nature of these offenses in and of themselves define a danger to society, Scarborough said. On November 1st, school resource officers at Colfax and a number of parents raised suspicions about Cummings, which led to the Colfax Police Department using a fictitious account to contact the defendant. Cummings made contact with the false account, which was presenting as a 15-year-old girl, and requested sexually explicit images from the account over multiple occasions, Scarborough said. Cummings then attempted to meet up with the minor to engage in sexual acts, the prosecutor said. On November 18th, he went to an address the account had sent him. When Colfax Police Chief Richie Cooper questioned the defendant, Cummings told Cooper he was there to meet a 15-year-old girl, Scarborough said. Assistant Public Defender Brian McEldowney argued for Cummings to be released, noting the defendant has no prior criminal record other than petty traffic offenses. Additionally, McEldowney said Cummings has significant ties to the community as a lifelong resident of McLean County and holds a steady job. In rebuttal, Scarborough said, he has been reaching out to the most vulnerable in our society. Ultimately, the judge agreed to detain the defendant. Cummings is scheduled for an arraignment at 9 a.m. December 6th. And to set the record straight, Red Lobster at 714 South El Dorado Road in Bloomington will be closed on Thanksgiving Day. The restaurant will reopen to customers at 11 a.m. Friday, November 29th. This information was incorrect in a story that appeared on page A3 in Monday's edition of the Pantograph and at pantograph.com. And starting Monday, December 2nd, there will be road closures in Uptown Circle due to HVAC replacement on top of the Children's Discovery Museum. The closures are expected to be completed by 6 p.m. that day, weather permitting. The road closures include Constitution Boulevard from Mulberry Street to Uptown Circle, North Street at Uptown Circle, West Beaufort Street at Uptown Circle, and East Beaufort Street from the alley to Uptown Circle. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, November 22nd, 2024. I look forward to reading part two with you next.